Before we start to talk about the book of Romans, we know that the gospel is for everyone. We know that. But when we read the first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, we can see that the gospel came first for the Jews. But although the message of the gospel came first to the Jews, and only in some cases we can see in the gospel Jesus reaching out to non-Jews, the Gentiles, it happened a shift. And God had to make the apostle understand that the message was not only for the Jews, but for everyone. The gospel is for everyone. But was not easy. Was very difficult. Because the Jews saw the Gentiles as dogs, impure. And if you read the four Gospels, when you jump to the book of Acts, we see that God is continuing to deal with that to teach them. Hey, the message is not only for the Jews, it's for everyone. We can remember that in Acts chapter 8, what's happened? Persecution. Because the disciples want to stay in Jerusalem. But the message was for everyone. So God allowed a persecution so they can spread the gospel for everyone. Do you remember Acts chapter 10? What happened? Peter was sleeping after a nice barbecue. And God gave a dream to him. And God showed to him a nice steak of pork. And what Peter said, no. And the voice said, kill and eat. If you remember, it was not only one time. I think it was three times. It was showing to him. And he said, no, I cannot eat this. So you can see that was hard to them to understand. And God said to him, why, what I consider clean, you cannot consider unclean. In the same time, you know the story, God was given vision for a Roman official, Cornelius, and say, hey, go and find this man there. And so God has provided this whole kind of supernatural thing to show Peter that the gospel is for everybody. When you jump for Acts chapter 15, what will happen? The council at Jerusalem. And Acts 15 verse 1 says, certain people came down from Judea to Antioch, and were teaching the believers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. So these are Jews, Christians, that they didn't get. There's no, you can be saved only if you follow the Jewish rules. So we can really see that change from the gospel, the four books, to Acts. God tried to teach the Jews, the Christian Jews, that the gospel was for everyone. Today we are set the stage for the book of Romans, where many scholars have called the gospel according to Paul. And Paul letters to Romans is more than a letter. It's a theological treatise. It's a theological manual that God has used to transform the lives of many great men in the history. And I have a quiz for you now. So can you jump, please? Yeah. Who knows this guy? Can you remember two guys who were transformed by the book of Romans? You remember? Two guys. I know this is just a draw. It's hard to That time we didn't have pictures. Huh? Agus, in Portuguese, is Santo Agostinho. Okay? So, Santo Agostinho, called to Bishop of Hippo, was born in 354 AD in some place in what is today Algeria, in Africa. And he died there too in 430. Agustin was one of the Latin fathers of the church and perhaps the most significant Christian thinker after the Apostle Paul. He was brilliant. His mom was a Christian, but his dad was a pagan. And when he was young, he was a piece of work. He has, in Brazilian, you say, when he was young, it's sex, drug, and rock and roll. Okay? So it was not good. But his mom, teached the gospel to him. And the story, his biography, says that one day, Agustino was outdoors, maybe a little bit drunk, happy, walking, and he heard a voice of a child sing a song. And the song in English was say like this: pick it up and read it. Pick it up and read it. And just came in my mind how was in Latin was tolle leg. Was like pick up and read. So he tried, who is the kid? And he tried to find, but nobody was there. So he thought, maybe it's God who is speak to me. So he found a Bible. And, the same thing you do sometimes, or at least everybody do one time in their life. You just go do and say, God, talk to me this morning. What do you want to say? Okay? I heard a story that one day one guy did this, and when we opened, it was Judas went to hang himself and said, no, God cannot talk to me about that. And he opened again another page and put, and said, go and do the same. So, it's not the case. But, when he opened the Bible, and the text was Romans chapter 13, verse 13-14. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. The book of Romans changed his life, and we have who is now Saint Augustine. We have another man. This is easy, I think. Who is this guy? Luther, Martin Luther. Martin Luther was a German professor of theology, Catholic priest, a monk, recognized as one of the pillars of the Protestant Reformation. Luther dedicated himself to the Augustinian order. He devoted himself to fasting, long hours of prayer, pilgrimage, and frequent confession. And it's interesting that in his biography, Luther described this period of his life as one of the deep spiritual despair. He did all the things. He confessed all the time. He prayed all the time. But he was so depressed. He tried to do it all the time. I know that in his history, I forgot how is the word in English, but you understand. When you use you understand what I mean. So because of his sins, he feel like he is not good. This was how was Luther, a priest. Until the day he was studying the book of Romans. He was reading Romans chapter 1, verse 17. It says, "For it in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith." And here, when I was reading this week, I found this information, I found so interesting. It's the Latin word for justification that we use that was used this time in the church history was, and it is the same word which we get the English word justification. And the Latin word was justificare. It's a compound word, two words from Latin, justus, that means justice or righteousness, and the verb facare, that means make. So, the Latin fathers understood the doctrine of justification is what's happened when God, through the sacraments of the church, this was the Latin fathers' idea, the Catholic Church at the time of Luther, that the justification is what's happened when God, through the sacraments of the church, make unrighteous people righteous. And I think this is the source of the whole crisis in the life of Luther. Because he read this and say, okay, I'm righteous. But when I look to myself, I still think bad things. I still have inside me inclination to do what is bad. And it was a crisis to him. So he started to, I need to do everything. He was so, feels so bad. Until the day, that he starts to study the word not in Latin, but in Greek. And he found two words, dikaios and dikaiosune. We didn't mean make righteous, but declare righteous. To regard as righteous, to count as righteous. And this was the moment with awakening to Luther. In his words, in his biography, he said, "Oh, you mean the righteousness by which I will be saved is not mine? It's what he called justitia alienum. Is a righteousness that belongs properly to somebody else." He really find out that it was the righteousness that belongs to Christ. In his book, he says, "When I discovered that, I was born again of the Holy Ghost, and the doors of a paradise swung open, and I walked through. He discovered it makes a lot different that when we accept Christ, we are not made righteous in the point that there is no more flaws in ours. No, we still broke. But God, when see us, He see us through Jesus Christ. He is our righteous. Jojo, please come here. I need you. Thank you very much. Okay. I have two chocolates for you during the week. Good, I don't have now, okay? I know you will ask me during the week. Of course. So the idea here is, without Christ, when God sees Jojo, God sees Jojo in his brokenness, in his sinful nature, okay? But at the moment that Jojo believes in Christ, what's happened is he's come under the cross. And when God see here Jojo, Okay, I see. It's okay. So when God sees your Job, He not sees your Job. He sees the justice of Christ reflect on him. This is the justification I talk about, what Paul talk about. He is declared just. He is not righteous for himself. He's still with a sinful nature inside him, fighting every 24 hours, 7 days a week. But when God see him, God didn't see Jojo. God see Jesus. The righteousness of Jesus. Thank you. True, eh? True. Now where am I now? Okay, good. So, the gospel revealed through the book of Romans to Augustine and Martin Luther is this good news for everyone. And our goal today is to set a stage for the book of Romans. And for doing that, we need to just answer some questions. What is the structure of the book of Romans? So it's good to start to know. First of all, we have this introduction here that is the revelation of righteousness. Paul talk about himself as apostle. He talk about what is. This is possible. This is the righteousness of God. It's here before you. And from chapter 1, verse 18 to chapter 5 is a doctrinal section on justification. What is a justification? So Paul start to talk about what is and what does mean that and how can we get. It's all in this first 5 chapters. From chapter 5, 12 to chapter 8, we see a doctrinal section on sanctification. So, how is our new life in Christ? After you receive Christ, how we deal with this? It's a process. It's a process. It's interesting that for some people, when think about baptism, I have this conversation with some people. They think that just because they will be baptized, something magical will happen. That they will be different. When go inside the water, or if a Presbyterian, just a little bit water. When this happens, after that, it's a new person. No. But baptism will not change you. Baptism is just a testimony. You testify for people around you that you believe in Jesus Christ. This is what God, what Jesus asks. So if you are here today and you say, I believe in Christ, and you never was baptized, you have to. You have to. This is Jesus asks us for everybody to be baptized. Okay? But baptism not save nobody. You are already saved when you go to baptism. Okay? But baptism is the way you show for people around you and to show yourself. Because show how brave you are. And most here than like in Brazil, if you ask, baptism is not so big deal. Because everybody say, oh, I'm a Christian. Everybody Christian in Brazil. But here is a big deal. I know. So when you say, no, I want to be baptized, it is a big deal here. Okay? So I really challenge you, if you have Christ in your heart, but you're not baptized yet, do it. It's good for you. So it's a testimony. Okay? It's a testimony. So he's trying to talk about this sanctification, but this sanctification is a process. God starts in your heart when you believe in Christ. And every day, God will change you day by day in this process called sanctification. In chapter 9 to 11, we have an explanatory section on Israel, God's righteousness in his relationship with Israel. In chapter 12 to 15, we have a practical application section, God's righteousness at work. And in the end, conclusion, chapter 15 to 16, we have purpose, plan, and praise in connection with dissemination of the righteousness. Why this? To know, I receive a righteousness that belongs to Christ. I was declared righteousness. And God now wants that this is good news. This is a very good news. And He wants me and you to share this good news. This rightness that not belong to you, that belong to me, but belong to Christ, to everyone around you. So this is the conclusion of Romans. We have to pass the message for everyone. Okay? The second question we have here in its answer, now we go for the first seven verse in Romans chapter 1, is who is the author? And the verse 1 said, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel. So Paul is presented here as a servant of Jesus, the apostle. Paul is presented here as someone who was set apart for the gospel. It's so interesting that Paul was totally against. If you never read, if you open in Acts chapter 9, we see that Paul was read to go to Damascus to put the Christians in prison. More than that, do you remember the first Christian who were killed? What is his name? The first martyr? Stephen. Okay? And if you remember that, when they threw stones in Stephen, the book of Acts said they brought their clothes and put before a young man called Saul. So, the Apostle Paul was there, and because this word, I think, means that he had some authority there, why they put clothes in front of Saul? So he was there with authority or something, I believe. And so he was there. So later, he was not satisfied with that. So he talked with the high priest and said, hey, I need power because, you know, this Christian, we need to kill everybody. So I know they are going, I want, give me a letter so I can put all Christians I see in front of me, I can put in jail or maybe kill. Give me the authorization. And he was on the way, I don't know if it was by horse or by Ferrari, doesn't matter, but he was on the way to Damascus. When he was in the halfway, who shows up? Jesus. And Jesus, and he told everybody cannot see nobody, only Paul saw, and said, hey, who are you? And Jesus says, I'm Jesus, the one you are persecuting. And Paul was totally blind. And they went to Damascus. In the same time, God talked for a guy called Ananias and said, Ananias, I want you to go and pray to that guy called Saul. And Ananias at the moment said, oh God, I think there is some problems on the data here. Do you really know who is this guy? This is Saul. This is the guy who killed us. And you are asking me to go and pray for him? Are you sure? And the answer of Jesus to Ananias was great in Acts chapter 9, verse 15. It says, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to Gentiles and their kings and the people of Israel. This is the Paul. And it's so amazing when you read Philippians chapter 3, when Paul is talking about himself, he says, though I myself have reason for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrew, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gained to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all thing. I consider them garbage, then I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. It's amazing how God can change his heart. If God changed Paul's heart, He can change this person you think now that is so hard to receive the gospel. Third question, what is the gospel? So, verse 2 to verse 5 says, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the Spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. The gospel is all about Jesus Christ. It's all about our Lord. Remember, in the Old Testament, people were saved by faith. The same the New Testament. But the difference, and I told you here before, they were saved by faith because they believe in the Messiah that will come. But in the New Testament, and now, we are saved to the Messiah that already came. It's the same thing. But the message goes from Genesis to Revelation. It's the gospel. It's all about Jesus Christ. Was promised beforehand. He, as a descendant of David, appointed Son of God in power through resurrection. Was not because Jesus was resurrected that he became God. No, he was God. The resurrection was to point, to show, to confirm, hey guys, he is what he said he was. He is the Son of God. Now we have the last question. Who may receive the good news? Verse 5 to verse 7. Through him, Jesus, we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles, to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are among those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Who may receive the good news? The good news is for all the Gentiles, include those in Rome who are loved by God. The good news of Jesus is for you. The good news of Jesus is for your family. The good news of Jesus is for your neighbor, for your classmates. So you that has the writings of Christ, you are invited by God to make this good news for everyone, that we don't need suffer because the price was paid. And I know we still broke, we still fight with the sinful nature that's still there, but as there was a shift in Luther's mind when think, hey, he understood, oh, I'm broke. I not became righteous. So it's not that everything's... No, I still broke. But God, when see me, he see me a righteous. God's as a judge. Do you remember the move? When the movie say, the judge say, I declare you're righteous. You're free to go. It's God. God declare. Yeah, I know. You still, with many things too, where God will work inside you. The Holy Spirit is there. But in the God's eyes, you're righteous. Because you received the rights of his son. And when Jesus was with his disciples, just before being betrayed, he was thinking about the gospel for everyone. But the disciples, they did not understand well. He always is still thinking that Jesus will come back to take over as a king, real king. And many times Jesus tried to remember them. It's a different realm I talk about. And you remember the day of Jesus was betrayed, the night he take his friends, the disciples, and he talked to them and said, "Hey, this is my body." I think they were so confused. "Whoa, oh, this is bread." And said, "Hey, this wine is my blood. It's the blood of the new covenant." And said, what did you mean by that? And said, "Every time you sit together and you eat the bread and you drink the wine, you remember me and you proclaim my salvation." At the moment, the disciples, they thought all about only Jews. It's only us. They didn't get it. But in Jesus' heart was already the good news for everyone. I invite you to pray. First of all, look for yourself. Look your heart. Close your eyes. And pray. And if you need to ask forgiveness to God, just confess your sins. Prepare your heart. And say thank you for Him. Thank you for Jesus Christ for what He has done. Dear Lord, we pray, dedicate these elements to you, Lord. The bread, the wine, represent the body and the blood of Jesus Christ that was given to us. And we dedicate this moment to you. Forgive our sins. Listen our prayer in this moment, our individual prayers. And thank you, Lord. This is good news. You sent your Son to die for us, to reconnect us with you, Lord. And help us to be the messengers of the good news for everybody. Our neighbors, our families, they need to know that the price of our sin was paid. In Jesus' name, amen.